Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Hello, hello, hello. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. I am Matt Williamson, your host every day. You and I chatted up, and let's get into some games. And we're going to go over four today, hopefully, maybe three, but probably four. Starting with last night's game, which was outstanding. I mean, I think there was some Twitter folks out there complaining. Man, this is no fun. Nobody's ever going to score. I mean, dude, that's great defense, man. Kansas City, Denver went to overtime. You know, and at one point early in the game, I made the joke, you know, is this going to be another 6-6 tie? You know, that was when it was 0-0. And that seemed like, I mean, like pie in the sky in terms of scoring. Like, man, they'll never get to 6-6 the way that these guys are going. They can't move the ball at all. They can't protect it all. The right tackles are just getting abused by, you know, phenomenal play by Von Miller and Justin Houston, as well as, you know, other defenders stood out too, but those two were unbelievable. But these are two exceptional offensive coaches, you know, the Reed and Kubiak, and I'm excited to watch some coaches tape on this too and really dig into it and see what adjustments they really were making. But they kind of grinded away, and as the game went on, and maybe the altitude had a little something to do with it, but they find things to exploit and were able to hit a big play here and there. And but, man, I mean, the edge pass rush is really the story here. And it's really the story of the entire division. You know, I mentioned these guys, but D Ford didn't even play. You know, Tombaugh Lee, Shane Ray, DeMarcus Ware. And then you go outside, you know, the rest of the division, Bosa's a stud in the making, and Ingram. And what team am I missing here? The Raiders. Khalil Mack's as good as any of them, you know. And Irvin's no slouch either. I mean, they're superstars and deep in this division in terms of edge pass rush, and a lot of them come from the quarterback's right side. And it was apparent, you know, this was a glaring example that right tackle play in the NFL right now is down. And but anyone dealing with these guys is a handful. But huge plays were in 12 actual seconds of play clock. In the second quarter, it went from 0-0 to 9-0 without Kansas City's offense ever touching the field, ever going on the field. You know, there was a safety, and then, you know, you kick the Tyreek Hill, and he returns it back. So, boom, it was 9-0 before you knew it. I mean, huge, huge play. There's two big plays on special teams that went against the Broncos. They also muffed a punt as well. Travis Kelce, to me, really stands out, too, from Kansas City's perspective. Even without Macklin, or even with Macklin, I should say, I still think he's the feature receiver here. You know, you see a lot of sets with him on one side and three receivers to the other. You know, and you've seen a lot of teams do this over the years. I always remember Green Bay doing it with JerMichael Finley. And you get some definitive reads that way. But he beats everybody. I mean, he's a really good route runner. Chris Collinsworth was talking about that a lot as the game was going on. I mean, he can outjuke corners. He's certainly bigger and more physical than those guys. He can run away from safeties. He's one of the more underrated and one of the best tight ends, I think, in the league. And obviously, Gronk stands alone, but I think he's right there in the conversation for number two. Eifert's another favorite of mine. Jimmy Graham's great. Olsen, you know, I'm probably missing somebody off the top of my head. But Trevor Siemian also played very, very well. And I thought he did a real good job, not necessarily early in the game, but as the game went on, of buying time in the pocket, using his feet to throw, you know, often against a heavy pass rush, against a, you know, with his linemen being overmatched. They saw a lot of man coverage from Kansas City. And Emmanuel Sanders started to get loose here and there, too, you know, and that was big. And then you got to talk about the end of the game, too. I mean, well, there's so much to talk about this game. We could probably spend the whole podcast talking Denver, Kansas City. And if you do want to hear every little bit, go check out Locked On Broncos, Locked On Chiefs. But the end of the game, you know, the official spots the ball short of the goal line. You know, they go into that play. There's 15 seconds left. It looks like he might have got in. The official spots it short. And then they made the right call. And he didn't have possession when he, quote, would have been down. By the time he actually got possession, he was in the end zone. And, you know, touchdown. It was crazy. But that was the right call. I mean, I know people like to beat up on the refs. But that was dead on. And that sends the game to overtime. I didn't tweet it at the time, and I was about to, and I just goes tied up in the game. And it's easy to say today, and those of you that know me will realize I'm not one of these guys that likes to bash coaches on Monday morning. But I didn't understand Kubiak going for a 62-yard field goal. I mean, especially when you listen to the announcers, and I'm not sure if they're dead on with their information, but you know, they were saying that the kicker really only has about a 55-yard ceiling. And you're going for a 62-yarder where that's almost like a turnover if you miss it, and you give him such good field position. That was a killer, obviously. I mean, but it was 4th and 10. It wouldn't have been easy to get the first down, of course. But and you want to be aggressive. You don't want to show your team that, you know, we're just going to punt and live for a tie, more or less. But man, that to me was the worst of the three decisions, because I think coaches do that too often, and I actually criticize Tomlin a lot locally here, that you know, you can't trot kickers out there that they have such a slim chance of making it, because not only do you miss, but then you give them ball back to where the kick was made, you know, where the kick was actually attempted, where the holder held the ball. That's a huge swing for the opponent. That I think that's a mistake coaches make too often. But I don't have much complaints about this game, that's for sure. This was a phenomenal primetime game. Pretty excited about, you know, both these teams, really, I think, can make noise in the AFC. We got a Gronkowski injury to deal with right now in New England. You know, who knows how serious that is at this point. The Patriots look beatable, you know, and one of these teams could be the ones to do it. Certainly the Raiders are in that conversation. So, really good game. Two contenders. Napa
know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
All right, this wasn't exactly a feature matchup, but it was something I wrote about and I think is interesting, is Miami beating the Niners. And start with San Francisco. A couple notes on them was Kaepernick remains a great runner, a playmaker. Certainly more fun to watch. I think certainly gives the Niners a better chance to win than Gabbert. I mean, he has a lot of work to do as a passer. I thought he was okay throwing the ball today. I mean, he hit a few nice passes. He, you know, there's times it makes you shake your head still. Did really well against the blitz. Is it safe to say Kaepernick is getting better? Is Kelly bringing him along pretty well? Is he putting in the work? Maybe, you know, and I think it's a foregone conclusion that San Francisco brings somebody else in the draft or whatever as at the quarterback position. But from what I understand, this is a really poor quarterback draft. And you can't use a second overall pick in the draft on a guy that should be going 28th just because he's a quarterback. And well, is Tony Romo going to go there? I don't think. I mean, Cutler. I mean, so it wouldn't blow me away that if they, you know, almost have to live with this crew, or if Kaepernick is a starter next year, or what they do here will be interesting, I guess, is the point. So there's not going to be a wealth of options for them, most likely. But I thought this was the best San Francisco has played in a very long time. And again, I thought that was encouraging for this team, that, you know, small victories. I mean, they're a bad football team with a lot of injuries and not a lot of ability to begin with. But I thought they played quite well. I want to talk more about Miami, though. Their offensive line was good in protection, but struggled in the run game. That was shocking to me because San Francisco's been so bad against the run. But, they didn't have three starters. I mean, their three best offensive linemen were out of this game. it's hard to run the ball when the guys, your best guys aren't blocking for them. But, some things I've been talking about here are, I think Adam Gase has proven that he very much looks like the right head coach for the job. And you guys that know me, I've kind of called this one all along, that I thought Miami's offense was really on track with their personnel, including Tannehill, and Gase especially. What his track record with other quarterbacks and all, shapes and sizes of quarterbacks is outstanding. And Tannehill, I think he deserves at least another year, as the man. I mean, not even like, we're going to bring Cutler and compete. I mean, like, no, Ryan, this is your team. And he's shown steady improvement, which is what you're after. I thought this was the best game he's played all year. And I don't even think his stats were, blow you away or anything, but I thought this was the best he's played all year. I get it's against the Niners, but, this is a team on the rise. He threw down field effectively. I mean, he was really good on third downs. I mean, within the pocket, a true pocket passer. Good quarterbacking, man. I mean, that's what you want to see, And of course, they were without their top three guys. And Jay Ajayi wasn't able to do a whole heck of a lot. And Landry probably had a down game by his high standards now. But those two, to me, are fixtures. I mean, I think you know who they are. And I'm talking more of a big picture item here, that Jay Ajayi's a feature back. Jarvis Landry's a chain-moving, important cog. And Parker's really showing up these last three games, too. And I don't think his stat line looked great, but he was a fraction away from a really nice catch on the sidelines, and a really nice touchdown catch, too, that were good throws. So, to me, that's a bonus when you're looking at these guys overall. Narrowly had that touchdown call back. He has some sort of back injury, though, so that's something just to keep an eye on. Kenny Stills came up with a couple of big plays. Leonte Carew, I think, is a good player as well. That's the thing here. I mean, the Dolphins have won six in a row. let that sink in a little bit. I mean, Miami's won six in a row. And I think this is a good football team. I mean, the defense is better than I thought. I really was focusing on the offense, though, as I have this whole offseason. And I think that this offseason coming up, I don't think they need much in terms of offense. If they could have a defensive-heavy offseason, this team might be pretty darn good next year. All right, another game to discuss. Saints over Rams. And I wanted to focus on Goff a little bit. I thought, first of all, I mean, he was much better in this game. I mean, much better. It didn't take much analysis to see that he was a lot more comfortable. Threw the ball well. You see him throw with touch and accuracy and difficult throws and first overall pick type of throws. Seemed like he really handled things well at the line of scrimmage. Poised. I will say that the Saints defense, Sheldon Rankins is a really good player, and he's made a big difference on this defense since he's been back these last few games. I mean, yes, Goff couldn't keep up with Breeze in New Orleans. I mean, that's not shocking. It shouldn't surprise anyone. Breeze is amazing. This offense is loaded. Breeze was carving up the Rams' four-man rush. I mean, Aaron Donald made a few big plays, but Breeze was highly, highly accurate. Michael Thomas has turned into a stud. Brandon Cooks, I'm not sure if he had a catch. I mean, he was like a non-factor here that I'm sure his fantasy owners were like, holy cow, we put up all those points and Cooks did nothing. I thought Ingram had a really good game, and it was curious, it wasn't sure if he was going to play or not in this one. And that's huge. I mean, this team's impressive, but still, back to Goff. That first touchdown, I thought, was really good in terms of ball placement and touch. Tough throw. And a really good at the end of the first half, too. A little time on the clock. He looked really bad in that situation the week before. Moved the Rams down the field. And he finished the drive with a nice touchdown to Kendricks. I mean, very, very composed doing so. He was under pressure a lot in this day. I mentioned that Rankins is a big boost to this defense. He lost a fumble on a sack that I thought he kind of held the ball a little long, but okay. He threw a bad interception into too much coverage that he never should have attempted, and I'm sure he'll be the first to tell you that. I mean, anyone on tape would look at that and say, boy, that's a bad idea. But it's one bad play, you know? I mean, he spread the ball around. He targeted 8 different guys in this offense, and I didn't think he got much help at all. I mean, Kenny Britt's having a very good year, but Todd Gurley did nothing. You know, Greg Robinson was inactive in this game, healthy scratch. I didn't think Gurley ran well. So I thought there was a little correlation here, though, that if I'm Jared Goff, the guy that I want to pattern my game after is Drew Brees. And a perfect example, you know, watching these two in the field saying, yeah, you have to squint a little, but you could see, you know, it's not crazy talk to see Goff having, you know, a somewhat similar trajectory. You know, I'm not saying he's going to the Hall of Fame or he's going to lead the league in passing or anything in the next couple years. But if everything goes well, I think that's obviously, you know, his ceiling. You know, that's a very, very high ceiling. Brees is an all-time great. We've talked about that. But I think if they pattern the offense and his style of game around a similar Brees-like manner, that would be wise. But anyways, I was impressed with them. Very impressed with the Saints. The Rams are out of contention. The Saints are not, I guess, but I think they can hang with anyone, but I don't think they're going to be in the playoffs, unfortunately.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
All right. Last one to touch on here a little bit is Oakland just keeps figuring out a way to win. They're a good football team. And I mentioned Khalil Mack. He was the utter superstar here. Just wreaking havoc. Really, really fun to watch him. And we saw a lot of really high-end defensive performances yesterday. And that's right up my alley. I mean, all the fantasies talk and all the, you know, SportsCenter highlights and all those things are great. But, man, I love watching great defensive players. And Mac's right at the top of that list. I don't have a ton to talk about in this one. Big game by Stewart. And we've talked about that a handful of times. That I really think this is two different offenses. When he's humming and when he's not. And when they can get him going and when he's healthy. They should rely on him a heavy amount, and they really need to find his successor ASAP. Newton could barely complete a pass there for a while. You know, I mean, he was struggling bad, and it just so happens when Carr had the finger injury. I mean, it was an odd snap, and the ball like took his pinky the opposite direction, and it was clearly out of joint and had to be painful. He later came back with a glove. I'm not sure why a glove would help a whole lot, but anyways, there was an 18 unanswered point swing there where Newton hit a bomb to Teddy Ginn, and everything was humming, and it looked like, you know, the Panthers I thought were left for dead, and at that stage of the game, you know, they looked quite good. I mean, that was a nice performance there for a stretch. Just a few other notes from that game too. Obviously, Luke Kuechly's missed a great, great deal. I also felt like Carolina lost both battles at the line of scrimmage in this game. I mentioned Mack, but Khalil was out. Their tackle play in general is suspect. They didn't run Newton very often. You know, I thought that was a little surprising. I'm wondering if he's 100% healthy, to be honest with you. But Stewart was running well. Newton was off on a lot of throws. It was good to see Walford involved for the Raiders. And you know, one thing you really notice with Oakland is they can attack you very many ways. You know, that if something's not working early in the game, they're able to adjust. And I think they're very well coached schematically on the offense. to, okay, this isn't humming for us, let's go back to plan B. And they always seem to have a plan B or an adjustment during a game. We saw some good things from Crabtree and Cooper, as usual. Carr came back to lead that final drive and win it for him. So the Raiders just kind of keep rolling along. I mean, I think it's certainly time to say the Panthers are done. And disappointing year, but I think they can hang with anyone. I think they go to Seattle next week, too, which is rough. Maybe we'll talk about Seattle tomorrow, by the way. But the Raiders are darn good. I mean, I got to say they're the best team in that division, even though the other three teams are highly impressive. We talked about the Chiefs and the Broncos. But I still think the Raiders are the team to beat there. And again, they don't have a lot of weaknesses. It's a good football team. So, all right, guys, we will talk about more games tomorrow, including tonight's Monday Nighter. Check out the rest of the Locked On Network. I am Matt Williamson at Williamson NFL. We will talk soon. Over.
Napa Know How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.